I just want to read
a few verses from Leviticus 18, and then I'd like you to turn in the New Testament to Galatians for a scripture reading. The first few verses of Leviticus 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord." And then in the New Testament, please, to Paul's little book of Galatians, his letter to the church at Galatia, and the third chapter. So if you'd turn there, please, in Galatians chapter 3. And I'd like to read a few verses. Beginning with the first of the chapter. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed in you.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.' Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And the particular verse that I want to zero in on this morning is verse 12 in Galatians 3. "However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them." And as we have opportunity this morning, we'll look at that particular text. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you do love us in Christ Jesus. And thank you that as we trust in him, we have right standing with you. And there's no doubt about that. We thank you that even as the Apostle Paul says at the end of the second chapter, you loved me And he loved me, and he gave himself up for me. That is Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that this is the case. And so as we look at a little bit different portion this morning in Galatians 3, we ask that you'd be pleased to bless and strengthen us. And I pray that you'd bless these folks. Grant them your grace in an ever-continuing and abiding and growing way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Suppose I were to ask you a question. Well, I will ask you a question. It comes from a well-known evangelistic program. If you were to die tonight and God were to ask you, why should I allow you into my heaven, what would be your answer? Well, I think I know what the answer most of you would give. It would be something like this. I believe in Jesus Christ, and because Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty due to me for my sins, therefore you should let me into heaven. Wouldn't that be the correct answer? All right. Now, suppose that it was 2,000 years ago, and you are a Jewish person living before the time of Christ, and I were to ask you the same question. Now, remember the circumstance here. You're a Jewish person. Christ has not yet been born. And you are a faithful Jewish person living by the laws of God. And I ask you this same question. You die, and as you come to the gates of heaven, God asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? As a good Jewish person, what would you say? I'm kind of curious about this. I'd like to take a little survey, if you'd permit me. But I won't ask you to raise your hands or anything like that. But am I correct in this? Probably you would answer, I've lived a pretty good life. I've kept the law the way I should. So, therefore, you ought to let me into your heaven. The idea being here that we have this sense about the Bible that there's one way of salvation in the New Testament, and there's a different way of salvation in the Old Testament. That salvation is by grace through faith in the New Testament, and salvation is by the law in the Old Testament. We kind of have this sense that this is the case. And when we come to a verse like Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12, and if you have your Bible open, I'd like you to look at that with me. Galatians 3, verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. We look at a verse like that and say, aha, that verifies my understanding of the Bible for sure. But I want to challenge you on this morning. I want to challenge you on this morning because I think when you have this idea, it's easy for you and it's easy for me to lapse back into this idea of legalism and get the idea that I really can please God by what I do. And we inch away from the gospel. And I don't want you to inch away from the gospel. I want you to remain firm in trusting Christ and living for Him. And I do not want you to view God's law as a way of justification, as a way of right standing with God. So, let's talk about this text a little bit. Look in your Bible again with me, if you would please, at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12. However, the law... Well, I need to find it again. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Now, if you look up at verse 11, you'll notice, now the one who is justified by the law before God, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. And then the text seems to lay a contrary view before us. However, verse 12, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, but he who practices them shall live by them. The just shall live by faith. On one hand, and then on the other hand, it seems to say, but the one who does them shall live by them. That would be salvation by works, wouldn't it? I mean, if this is actually what Paul is saying. And so it seems that juxtaposed to one another are these ideas of salvation by faith through grace and salvation by works. Now, perhaps you have a footnote in your Bible with regard to verse 12. The end of verse 12 is a quotation from the Old Testament. Did you pick that up? And maybe in some of your Bibles it's in a little bit different font, a little bit different print. Okay? And the citation, the quotation, is from Leviticus 18 that we just read. So, let's go back to Leviticus 18 again. You go back there with me? Leviticus 18. I see a couple of nods. That's good. That's good. Leviticus 18. And the quotation is from verse 5. Leviticus 18:5. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. And when you read that, you get the idea right away. Well, Paul is correct. This is salvation by works. But let's examine Leviticus 18 just for a moment. Go back to the first verse in Leviticus 18. And notice what's happening. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. The scene in Leviticus 18 is the scene at the foot of Mount Sinai. It's a year after the people have come out of Egypt, and the tabernacle has been built. The people are now ready to proceed on their journey, and God is giving them further directions. And He reminds them that He saved them from Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Kind of reminds you of the beginning of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And that's exactly what God is doing. He's reminding them that they're a saved people. They're a redeemed people. That's part of what this text is about. Verse 3 says, you shall not do what was done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. Remember Egypt? Don't live like the people in Egypt. Pharaoh was a god in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You don't bow to any king as if it were a god, he were a god. And don't do like the people in Canaan. The people in Canaan sacrificed their babies. You realize that? The people in Canaan believed in cult prostitution, and they practiced it. It kind of reminds you of modern America, doesn't it? Don't do those things, Moses says. You're to live by my statutes. Look at verse 4. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. God says, I've given you laws and statutes. Why have I given you those laws and statutes? God says, I've given those to you so you know how to live properly in the land which I'm giving you. You're a saved and a redeemed people, and I'm giving you my statutes as a special gift of grace so you will know how to live. Sometimes we misunderstand the Ten Commandments. We don't get the reason behind the Ten Commandments. See, God gave us the Ten Commandments as a gift. You remember what Jesus said? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. See, the commandments are not a way of salvation. The commandments are a special gift of God so that we will be able to show God that we love Him. He's given us that ability. I really think that's tremendous. As a people who believe in Jesus Christ and trust Christ, God has given us a way that we can show the world and we can show Him that we love Him. Praise be unto God that this is the case. So verse 4 in Leviticus 18 says, you are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. So what does verse 5 mean? You may live by my commandments. That is, my commandments will be a way of life for you. This is what Moses is saying in Leviticus 18:5. My commandments will be a way of life for you if you actually do them. If you don't do them, then they're not your way of life. We scratch our head a little bit. There's a little redundancy there in the text. But that's the idea, you see. And any of us that have children understand that this is the idea, that we draw certain parameters. Say you're going to be a part of this family and live like you're a part of this family. This is how you're to live. And we give our children directions. That's how we do it. And we're the children of God. And God says, here's my kingdom. And here's how you should live in my kingdom. And if you're going to live by my standards in my kingdom, this is what you'll do. So that's the idea. See? And it's really a very simple idea. But unfortunately, we have the propensity, and we are always ready to pervert the Word of God. Is this not the case? And we're ready to twist it. And one way we twist it is to make the law of God a way of salvation. And it was never intended to be a way of salvation. Okay. Getting all wrought up here. Please go back to Galatians chapter 3. See, this is the background. This is part of the background, anyway, of what we find in Galatians chapter 3. And let me try and lay out for you at least part of Paul's argument in Galatians chapter 3 and work down to verse 12. Okay? Follow me now in Galatians chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You see, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? Were you saved by the works of the law or by trusting in Christ? Which was it? It was by trusting in Christ, right? You don't receive the Spirit as a result of doing good. That's not the basis of your salvation. Okay? Are you so foolish? You see, the Galatians were lapsing back into legalism. That was part of the problem. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, if you're saved by grace, do you think you're going to actually progress in the Christian life and make points with God by your obedience? Listen to me carefully here now. Do you think you're going to make points with God by your obedience? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? When an extraordinary providence comes along in your life and God gives you a special gift in your employment or in your personal life, is it because you've been extraordinarily good that God does that? No. It's because He's gracious, right? And this is what Paul is talking about. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's by the hearing of faith. Even so, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Why was Abraham right with God? Because Abraham trusted the promises of God. That's why Abraham was right with God. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. If you trust Christ, what does that make you? A child of Abraham, by faith. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed in you. What did Abraham hear? Abraham heard the gospel. The gospel was preached to Abraham. In you all the nations will be blessed. And it was through Abraham's child, Jesus Christ, that the nations were blessed. And Abraham believed in the Savior who was to come. This is what the Bible is telling us. Okay? So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. And if you are of faith, that is, you trust Jesus Christ, you're blessed with Abraham the believer. I think that's kind of cool. I really do. Okay? Now, Paul continues his argument, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Uh-oh. It seems now that we have to reckon with this idea of works. And what does Paul quote here? He quotes another passage in the Old Testament. This one is from Deuteronomy. Now, we don't need to go back to Deuteronomy, but the idea here is that the parameters are set out. And if you do not follow all of the parameters, what happens? You're doomed. I think we better go back to Leviticus here. Would you turn back to Leviticus 18 with me? Please turn back to Leviticus 18. Because I think it's important for us to see something here. in Leviticus 18:5, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. So if you do the statutes and the judgments, you live by them, you follow them. Well, it turns out that part of the statutes and part of the judgments of God have to do with the sacrifices, right? It's not only moral law, but it's the sacrifices. And the good Jewish person would view the law like this. Wow! Those stipulations are tough. And I don't get all of them. And I don't do all of them properly. I may not even know all of them. So what do I have to do? I have to go over here to the sacrifices. And I have to present my sacrifices to God. And beg God's forgiveness every day because I do not fulfill the commandments as I should. And that's how the good Jewish person, the good Israelite, would have viewed things. Not that I can keep all of these things, no. I realize that if I don't keep all of these things, I'm under a curse. And so to get out from under the curse, I go over here to the sacrifices. And I plead the blood of the sacrifices and ask God to forgive me of my sins. And of course, what did those sacrifices point to? They pointed to Jesus. See? They pointed to the Savior who was to come. That's what those sacrifices pointed to. And so, you have over here the moral law, but you also have over here the ceremonies and the sacrifices. And it's pretty important, it seems to me, to keep that in mind. And so, when we look at Galatians again, please turn back to Galatians. When you look at Galatians again, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Boom! It comes down. Yes, that's right. What do I need? I need the sacrifice. And that's what Paul is getting to. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. But now I skipped over a couple of verses there, didn't I? Let's look at verses 11 and 12. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. You see, this has always been the case. From the beginning, from Genesis 3:15, this has always been the case, that people are saved by grace through faith. And salvation in the Old Testament is no different than salvation in the New Testament. And that's what Paul is telling us. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Now look at verse 12. I've got the New American Standard Version. It says, however. The New King James Version says, now. I think, is that right? It seems as though there's a switch in the argument. But actually there isn't. I'm in trouble here because it's my word against the English translation. Here's how you could translate it. And... you see, Paul is just continuing his argument, and the law is not of faith. And the law is not of... Paul is continuing to show that justification does not come by the works of the law. And he's saying the law is not of faith. And what does that mean? Well, here's what I think it means. That the law is not a way of justification. The law is not of faith in that it is not a way of justification, would be another way of saying what Paul is saying. Paul uses this kind of language frequently. For example, when Paul says or speaks of justification by faith, he means justification by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, apprehended by faith. And he distills it down. And so what I think Paul is saying here is simply this, in verse 12. Now the law is not a way of justification. On the contrary, you see, the stronger but, some of you seminarians have taken a little bit of this language, but the stronger adversative, the stronger but, comes in the middle of the verse, but, and then comes Leviticus 18, verse 5. Leviticus 18, verse 5 says, he who practices them shall live by them. Leviticus 18, 5 is not verifying salvation by works. Leviticus 18, 5, as we've already seen from the Old Testament, is talking about a way of life. Justification is not by the law. And it never has been. Let me attempt to verify that in Galatians. Look at verse 21 in Galatians 3. Is the law contrary to the promises of God? Is the law contrary to the gospel? Paul asks the question. And what's his answer? No. No. The law is not contrary to the promises of God. May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But righteousness has never been based on law. Salvation has never been by works. That's what Paul is trying to tell us. And we subtly get the idea, folks. Hey, boy, this is a lot of theological stuff here. Well, it's important because we subtly get the idea very often that I can actually merit the favor of God by what I do. And that is not the case. And so my plea is, do not turn away from the grace of God like the Galatians were doing. Do not think in your heart that it's possible to do some things and rack up points with God so that He will give you certain things that you want in your life. So how does this work? Well, here's simply how it can work. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been faithful for a lot of years. I always go to church on the Lord's Day. And I've worked on mission trips, and I've done this, and I've done that. And it's easy for us all of a sudden to say, you know, Lord, I've been good. And because I've been good, quote unquote, I expect you to be good to me. What is that? It's a lapse back into legalism. That's what it is. And it's a step away from the gospel. It's that idea that there's another way of salvation. No, there's only one way of salvation. It's Jesus Christ, and trusting Jesus Christ. He's the only one that was good. And when we bow before Him and realize that this is the case and trust Him, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? And when we follow Him, it makes all the difference in the world. You see, I'm kind of adverse to, I'm going to get myself in a little bit of trouble here. I'm kind of adverse to the idea of someone saying to me, how do you measure up, Denny Pruto, on a scale from 1 to 10? How do you measure up? And you know what my response to that is? I'm over here at zero, because I don't measure up. And in fact, if the truth were known, I'm probably over here in negative territory. But thanks be to God, it's not my works that merit right standing with God, but it's Jesus Christ that merits right standing with God for me and for you, as you trust in Him and as you live for Him. May God give you grace to walk forward, not in reliance upon what you've done, but in reliance upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, and Jesus Christ and what He has done alone. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your grace. And we do bow before You because we are unworthy of Your love. And we beg Your forgiveness for our many sins. And we thank You that in Jesus Christ, they are actually covered. And because of Your goodness to us in Him, we have free access into Your very presence. And when we breathe our last and enter into that other world, we thank You, Father, that not on the basis of what we have done, but on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done, You will, You do receive us. Thank You that this is the case. With joy in our hearts that this is indeed the case, we pray. In the great name of Jesus, amen.